When God speaks with a universal language. When God touches our heart, God touches our heart as He has always touched the heart of those who believe in Him. Many will say, I guess God then interprets in all these different languages His Word. Well, actually, yes, He does. One universal law of the living God is this: whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. That's a universal law of the living God. You sow it, you will reap it. But God also let us know there is a universal language. A universal language that each one of us speak as Christians. It's a universal language that reaches across the oceans to the depth of wherever it may be and to the height of whatever exists. Throughout all that God has created from universe to universe, galaxy to galaxy, anything that exists, God created. He did not want us to be left unprepared. So when I said yes to Jesus Christ, when you said yes to Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, at that point of time, God taught you the universal language that He uses. I believe it was last Friday. Somebody correct me, I'm thinking it's Afghanistan children. The four, these children are Christians. These four children were given each under the age of 14 or 12. Children. They were given an opportunity to renounce Jesus Christ as their friend and accept Islam as their mode of worship. These children said no. They would not renounce Jesus, but they said it this way: but we love Jesus. We love Jesus. All four of those children were decapitated at that moment. Children. But the children knew something. They knew a foreign language to all of creation, just about. Those children knew the name of Jesus. And in that name lies all the hope. And in that name lies the universal language. That universal language is love. You and I have been given the power of the universal language. You and I can look at whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. And we know that it happens in our own life. We relate to it. God did not call me or you to just be you or me. God called each of us to make certain that we would promote His universal language. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And he would not leave us ignorant. He wanted us to learn a foreign language, a universal language, a language that cannot be taught in the heart of those who deny Christ as Lord and Savior. Many were asking, where was this God of these four children? They lifted the name of his son Jesus and they said, but we love Jesus. Where was your God then? The answer is clear. He was right there. Because those children that you and I would call foreign spoke our language as Christians. You and I need to understand that of all the greatness of our own nation, we are witnessing this Christmas season as well as many others. We are witnessing the world not wanting to hear the universal language of God called love. You will worship my God or I will slaughter you and your family. I remember the great church father, and his name's Polycarp. I told a story of Polycarp, and I remember somebody coming to me later that week and said that was heresy because there was no such person named Polycarp. Polycarp was a church father. He was an individual that stood strong for Christ. He was told to renounce his Christ, and his statement was at 86, I think it was, or his answer was this: for these 86 years, Jesus has done me no wrong. I will not renounce him. At that time, Polycarp was to be burned at the stake. What made the world angry was this. What was going on through the burning of Polycarp? The world wanted to hold down Polycarp, one of our church fathers, knew the universal language of God. He knew Jesus loved him, and he knew he loved Jesus. As he was at the stake, and they lit the fire, he was doing fine. So they wanted to make sure that he died. And as tradition tells about that, says one took a spear or sword and thrust it into his body, and his blood flowed out and the fire died out. My friends, it's not of the stories of the great men and women of God that's going to give any of us strength to stand in these days. It's a universal love of God, his language, that you and I need to take to heart. For God so loved, he gave. Well, where was your God when Polycarp was being burned? He's right there. This is only the beginning. The only beginning of our existence. This is a time when the hearts of man are tried. When God looks directly to the heart and he sees and or he hears the voice of God. God looks to the depth. And so many Christians are escaping the shallow water. But they're foreigners. So are we to those who look at us from the other nations. But whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, also had been given a new language. The language of the Christian is love. And when God sees that we are proclaiming and teaching through his universal language, he's always there. The world sees them dying. I see them witnessing supper time in heaven. God the Father looking on the heart of man. Do you think maybe that we are learning once again from the mouth of babes? Do we not understand? I cannot accept Christ as Lord and Savior of my life unless I come to him as a child. And when I come to him as a child, then I look to him and look to his blood as a child would look. I know the sacrifice that Christ went through for me. I just don't understand it. I know the universal law. What you sow, so shall you reap. Understand it as a Christian and try to walk on the eggshells around it. But the greatest voice that God will have in your life and in my life will be the joy of love. Where there is no love, there is no hope. How can I say that I love Jesus as Lord and Savior of my life and then renounce him when the time comes? How will you stand? I have the slightest idea. What will you say? I haven't the slightest idea. Will you, as a human being, contemplate within your mind, you know, if I don't do this, they're going to kill me and my family. Folks, it is at the door. Jesus is at the door knocking, let me back in. Islam is at the door knocking and saying, I'm coming in and I will destroy you. It's the people, folks. It's those individuals that don't know the universal law and the love of God. And that love that God speaks, he speaks to the heart. For us to understand we're forgiven. Well, would God forgive me if through the human fear? Let me tell you something, Christian. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, we will all see one another in his realm. Yes. It's not the key that God says, okay, now if you don't do what those four children did, if you're not ready to do that, you're really not a Christian. That's not what the Scripture teaches. The Scripture teaches us that love is more powerful than hate. That truth holds within the heart of God a hope for humanity. But the truth for humanity can only be spoken in a universal language called love. Love your neighbor. Jesus said, this is a new commandment I give you. Love your neighbor as I have loved you. Do we love our neighbor? I cannot forgive anything that hasn't been directly done to me. I cannot forgive that because I'm not the recipient of it. So God asks the question for you and me. See, it's not that I be willing to die. Folks, that's not the question. The world sees it that way. Here's how God sees it. I died for you. I promise you. Because I died for you and you said yes to me. I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. For God speaks a universal language called love. And I will be there. What the world sees as death is celebration time in heaven. When the world looks to the depth of what a Christian is supposed to be about, that world will never get it right, because you have to have been there. You have to have understood that you're saved by love. And if I am saved by the love of God, for God so loved, then am I not kept by the love of God? Can man separate me from that? Each has a special calling. Each has a special gift. All are taught the universal language of the living God. Love. Do I look at the children and say how horrible the enemies of God were? Sure. Because it's horrible. You and I see the physical. God knew these children stood up for him, and he's bringing them to safety. When children are taken away, the scripture says they're taken to protect them from the evil to come. You and I are classified as children. In the realm of heaven, we are children. During the reign of Christ, when he comes on earth, during that period of time, it will be said, the scripture said, reads, it will be said that those who are 100 years old will just be looked at as a mere child. You see, everything that centers around us goes back to us being children. Many have had a horrible time through childhood, lived with families, with parents or so-called parents, and you listen to the fighting, and you listen to the bickering, you listen to the hatred, you listen. Many times while you were getting ready to go to church, that's not of God. Bitterness and hatred is not of God. But it is what we sow. And when you sow it, you will reap it. When you have love, getting involved through love to give hope, you see the face of God. Are we spoiled in this nation? Actually, yes. All of God's children are so loved. We're so spoiled. You don't need to apologize. Once again, I'll tell you this. Don't apologize for how God has blessed your life. Enjoy the fruit of your labor. But the fruit of your labor will not be spent properly if you don't speak the universal language called love. I do not have to speak the language of any other nation in the world. When somebody is hurting and they're hungry, have you ever noticed you can tell it? Have you ever noticed you can look at a person and know that that individual needs love, care, and concern? I cannot tell them that I love you and then not feed them. I cannot say to them, I love you, and send them back to a home that I know they're not going to be safe in. When I began in the chaplaincy in the jails and prisons close to 40-some years ago, I got involved with a situation that really taught me a lesson. I love children. I'm very protective of children and the elderly.
And in one of our children's homes, which doesn't even exist anymore, Glendale Children's Home, which was a part of our Baptist corporations through the churches, three boys I had, very young. The police brought them in, and the officer said they're from Glendale Children's Home, and they ran away. I talked to those three, and I found out a horrible fact. One was that my pride needed to be pushed aside, because I looked at them and I promised them, after they told me their story, that I would do all I could do to protect them. The story was that another male worker at the home had violated them. I watched as the TV stations came to town, talking about and putting the blame on someone that was innocent of that, because I knew what had happened. I went to a good friend of mine and one of my professors, Dr. Verlin Crushwitz, 33 or 35 years pastor of Severn Valley Baptist Church. And I said, "Dr. Crush, here's what really happened. When the big meeting times came, I stood up at the meeting and told what really happened. And all the leaders from the association and all had a hatred for me. And I was told that if this was made public, it would knock the Baptist back 30 years. So I made it public. But I could not protect the kids. And the true individual that had committed the crime against nature and against God wasn't even fired, but was transferred to another children's home. I couldn't protect the kids. And I saw my failure in the fact that I promised them that I would see to it didn't happen again. And I couldn't protect the kids. To see the brokenness and to make a promise of helping, you have to come as a child, as a kid. And I guess I set the Baptist back 30 years. They needed to be set back further than that during that period. All lies. And folks, there no longer exist Glendale Children's Home. You do not push Christ out to protect the name of a denomination. You do not push love aside and accept the hatred and bitterness of evil. You either stand for it or God will clean them out. The last words I had to say to the director of those times was on the phone. I was never able to speak to him again, for he had a heart attack and died. Folks, I do not say that God took him because of this. What I will tell you is this. You crawl in the bed with evil, Christ will not be there. You cover up the abuse of God's children, Christ will not be there for you. For foreign, as we say, young children said, "I love Jesus," as they were put to death. And God's still looking for his people in America to stand up, take notice. But I've learned something. My promise to protect them isn't good enough, because I can't. I can't be with them 24/7 any more than you can be with your children to protect them. But one thing I said to you, my friends, I know the one who can. I know the one who taught me and taught you the universal language of God. He taught us how to love. One thing God never taught me, and that is to back down from the truth. If I was ever taught, I flunked the course. Folks, it's the only hope you and I have. It is the truth and the love of Christ. So now what do I do? I messed up that many years ago as a young chaplain, thinking in my cockiness that I could protect them. Now I know to do this. I will tell God on them. In my prayers, I will pray for the truth to abound and the love. What the world sees, the decapitated children. What Christ and all the heavenly abode witness, was a homecoming, a gift that nothing on earth could touch. They understood love. Let's pray. Father, during this time, this season, Father, we as your children, we lift your Son high. But I do know, Father, that you tell us to lift him from our heart and to express your love through actions, not just words. I ask you now, Father, to touch each family and protect. I know, Father, the battles are coming and they will be raging soon. But I ask you, Father, please have mercy on your children, for we have sinned greatly against you. We have refused to stand when you've told us to stand. We've allowed pride to come between us and your love. Touch each of us now, Father, for we realize all we truly do need to do is to tell you about the problem. Thank you for allowing us to pray. Thank you, Father, for loving us so much that you've taught us a universal language that only few will ever understand. We ask the blessing now upon the nations at war, including ours, and the hatred and bitterness that awaits us outside the doors of your heart. Touch us now. Touch your heart in Jesus' name. Amen.